The following program is produced and paid for by Temple Emmanuel.
What?
I know how we can run everybody out of Rock Ridge.
How?
We'll kill the firstborn male child in every household.
Too Jewish.
Shalom, and welcome to Too Jewish with Rabbi Sam Kohan and Friends, a weekly serving of everything Jewish. We'll have a great hour together of news, music, comedy, and conversation. Our guest this morning is Rebecca Lieberman, daughter of Senator Joe Lieberman and an activist in getting out the vote. We'll also visit with our maven on Israel, Danny Bobman, and our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price. Please contact us with comments at our email address, TooJewishRadio@Yahoo.com. Too Jewish is sponsored this morning by Temple Emmanuel, a Reformed Jewish community for all of Tucson. Call 327-4501 for information on Southern Arizona's fastest-growing synagogue, the only full-service Reformed congregation in Southern Arizona. We're sponsored as well by Jill Rich of Realty Executives, by Environmental Strategies, and by Better Bodies. And now, here's Rabbi Sam Kohan and Too Jewish.
Shalom. We've got an exciting show this morning with a terrific guest, Rebecca Lieberman, who's campaigning for her father, Senator Joe Lieberman. But most of you aren't paying close attention because you're busy getting ready for Thanksgiving, which is fine. Thanksgiving is actually a uniquely Jewish festival. So what is it that makes Thanksgiving a Jewish festival? Well, in addition to the fact that it's a holiday when we overeat, the story goes like this. When the Puritans came over from England by way of Holland to America, they brought with them a phenomenal knowledge of Bible. If you remember your American history, the group had initially fled England for more tolerant Holland, and some Puritans studied Hebrew with Jewish scholars in the Netherlands. After all, the Netherlands was the center of Sephardic Jewish culture at that time, with a large and very knowledgeable and prosperous community descended from the Jews expelled from Spain and Portugal in 1492 and 1496. In any case, the Puritans learned Hebrew from the Dutch Sephardic Jews just so they could read the Old Testament, as they termed it, in the original language. By the way, there was a byproduct of this experience. The old-time Puritan New Englanders believed every scholarly man should know three languages, Latin, Greek, and Hebrew, and they kept Hebrew as a required language at Harvard University well into the 1800s. So our American pilgrims knew all about the ancient Hebrews' Thanksgiving Feast of Booths, celebrated outdoors. When their first decent harvest came in, and they knew they were going to make it through the winter, they proclaimed an outdoor feast of Thanksgiving, a harvest festival based on Sukkot. And as any self-respecting Jewish holiday guest would, they promptly overate. We've been doing the same ever since. So, stock up on the Alka-Seltzer, and remember, you're really celebrating Sukkot again this week. Here's a song of Thanksgiving to get us going this morning from Israel. Hallelujah! Praise God for all the things we have, and even for what we don't have. Hallelujah! A huge hit 20 years ago or so. A little cheesy, but still fun.
הלב מלא בהמון תודה, ועולם גם הוא איזה
Hallelujah from Israel for Thanksgiving. A little cheesy, but not quite a turkey of a song. You know, while we typically try to stick to the Torah portion of the week here on Too Jewish, we are not too arrogant to admit that sometimes we've missed something we should have included. About 2 weeks ago, we read the story of Abraham and Lot, and our lives would not be complete without a fuller understanding of this story of the nephew of Abraham. It brings into sharp focus the famous tale of Sodom and Gomorrah. And after all, what's the story of Lot but a lesson in the consequences of looking back? So, looking back a couple of weeks in our Torah portions, and for your edification, here's comedian David Steinberg's outstanding interpretation of the biblical story of Lot.
Lot took his wife and his sheep and went to Sodom and Gomorrah. A good town to have sheep in. And he wandered around the city, the twin cities they were called. For a very dirty thing happened in Sodom, a dirty thing happened in Gomorrah as well. And Lot, only Lot and God got to see it. The first biblical voyeur, Lot. What can I tell you about Sodom and Gomorrah? Sodom and Gomorrah! All your wildest fantasies come true. God said, Lot, enjoy this while you can, because I'm going to destroy it. It is evil, and the evil has come up before me. Not all the way, darn it, but... Lot said, God, hold it. If I can find you 10 righteous people, will you then still destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? God said, Lot, you're such a nudge. Okay, and Lot went looking for 10 righteous people, but in Sodom you don't look for a minion. A quorum. A quorum is what a minion is. A minion is easier to understand than quorum. Said, get out, Lot! Take your wife, leave your sheep. Because I'm going to set fire to Sodom and Gomorrah. And whatever you do, Lot, don't look back. Lot said, okay, God, left with his wife. And they're walking on the outskirts of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot's wife says, Lot, we should have stayed. Lot continues to walk. She said, Lot! We should have stayed. Lot turns to her and says, dear, God told me to tell you to look back.
That was comedian David Steinberg with a near rabbinic midrash on the story of Lot. When we come back, we'll meet our guest, the dynamic Rebecca Lieberman, daughter of Senator Joe Lieberman, who's campaigning for her father and is an activist for young people increasing their voting.
So, what are you doing today? We suggest that right after listening to Too Jewish, you head over to Temple Emmanuel for their Hanukkah Bazaar, going on now until 2 p.m. The Hanukkah Bazaar, presented by the Temple Emmanuel Sisterhood, has something for everyone. Crafts and special gift vendors, a tasty bake sale, even the famous Rabbi David Freeland Cheesecake Raffle. There's latkes, hot dogs, refreshments, and fun for everyone. Head on over right away to the Hanukkah Bazaar, going on now at Temple Emmanuel, Country Club just north of Broadway. Proceeds benefit the religious school and temple-sponsored events. We'll see you there. Environmental Strategies Incorporated was established in Arizona almost 15 years ago. They're a corporation that's very unique and has distinguished itself as one of the foremost environmental remediation companies in Arizona. Environmental Strategies, Inc. is also a full-service general contractor. The fact that they have two divisions affords their clients the opportunity to work with one contractor to deal with environmental problems as well as their building and remodeling needs. Environmental Strategies clientele range from single-family homeowners to multi-million-dollar Fortune 500 companies. So, if you're in need of asbestos abatement, mold remediation, or general contracting services, call Environmental Strategies at 884-1114. And if you wish, ask for Ken Goodman, the president. He'd be more than happy to talk with you about your project. That's Environmental Strategies, 884-1114.
We are delighted to welcome Rebecca Lieberman to Too Jewish. Before joining her father, Senator Joe Lieberman's campaign for president in May of this year, Rebecca Lieberman was president and CEO of Vote for America, a nonpartisan nonprofit organization that unites people from all walks of life in a shared campaign to raise voter turnout. Ms. Lieberman founded the organization as a result of her experience during the 2000 elections, when she took to the campaign trail in support of her father in the Gore-Lieberman ticket. Reaching out to potential voters across the country, she recognized an unmet need for nonpartisan education about why government and voting matter. Vote for America is now a project of the Common Cause Education Fund, and Rebecca Lieberman is on the campaign trail. Again, I'd like to welcome Rebecca Lieberman to Too Jewish. Welcome.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Why do you think young people vote at such low rates in America?
Well, the truth of the matter is that we've been in a 40-year decline in civic participation in voting, and young people are probably the group that vote least of all. And I think in large part that has to do with the fact that they don't see the connection between their lives, between the issues that they care about and what it is the government does. And that's why with Vote for America, I really worked hard to speak with folks about the issues that matter to them, whether it's, you know, cleaning up parks or tutoring young kids or education, and show them how that connects to elections and how the folks that get elected really impact each of those issues far more than any individual can.
Do you think there's an ethical issue? They don't feel the connection of government with doing good?
I do think there's a lot of cynicism about government. And I have to tell you, my dad has been in office my entire life, essentially. He was elected when I was 1 year old. And I've always looked at what he does as public service because of the way he has conducted it himself, because of the causes that he's fought for. And I think, you know, obviously every child does not have a parent who's in public service, and what we hear about politicians is too often negative. So I think there is a certain level of cynicism.
We will speak much more with Rebecca Lieberman a little later this morning here on Too Jewish.
The greatest Hanukkah on earth is coming to Temple Emmanuel Sunday, December 14th at 4:30 p.m. Join Temple Emmanuel for the largest, most spectacular, and most enjoyable Hanukkah celebration of all, featuring a wonderful array of music, theater, dance, stories, and magic. Hanukkah comes to life at the Temple's 5th Annual Festival of Lights. Sing and celebrate Hanukkah with us. Begin by helping light the giant outdoor menorah on Country Club Road at 4:30 p.m. and then rejoice with the Avanim Rock Band, Temple Emmanuel Youth and Teen Choir, our string quartet, Rabbi Sam Cohen and David Freeland, and an array of great performers. Bring a menorah and two candles as we light up the night in a gorgeous finale that'll make this your most memorable Hanukkah ever. This Hanukkah event is open to all, and there's no charge for the show. Come join the fun at the temple. If you want to join us for a great traditional brisket and latke dinner afterwards, call the temple at 327-4501 and make a reservation with your credit card. Sunday, December 14th, beginning at 4:30 p.m., it's the greatest Hanukkah on earth at Temple Emmanuel.
My name's Jean. I was so out of shape, I couldn't even get up on my horse.
Jean, a 50-plus Tucsonan, talks about why she went to personal trainer Jeremy Price of Better Bodies.
I knew it was going to be hard work, but after I'd been seeing him for only a week, I felt better about myself.
In their new private facility, Better Bodies makes it easy to lose your body fat fast.
I've lost 35 pounds. I'm wearing clothes I haven't worn for 25 or 30 years. Everything looks better.
After just 6 weeks, Better Bodies promises you a better body, and individual programs start at only $39.99 a month.
By the way, I can not only get on my horse, but I can post in that saddle for hours and hours.
For a free personal evaluation, call Better Bodies at 975-7074.
And I owe it all to Jeremy.
That's 975-7074, or on the web at BetterBodiesTucson.com.
We've been playing wonderful Shabbat music over the last few weeks, celebrating the Sabbath in melody. To conclude that focus, of course, we need a great musical Havdalah, the ceremony that concludes Shabbat on Saturday night. From the spectacular cantor Alberto Mizrahi, who will be singing here at Temple Emmanuel in January, by the way, the last section of Zavel Zilbert's marvelous Havdalah. La Yehudim haita ora v'simcha v'sason v'ikar. The Jews had light and joy, celebration and honor. Cantor Alberto Mizrahi, Abe Mizrahi, the Jewish Pavarotti, singing Havdalah. This week's Torah portion of Toldot is a tale of intrigue and deception. The second of the three great patriarchs of Israel, Isaac, Abraham's son, carries on the story of our people. But he's not much like his father. In fact, he isn't much at all. Isaac's often described as a link of the generations, a kind of middleman between the great founder of Judaism, Abraham, and the guy who fathers all 12 of the tribes of Israel, Jacob. But Isaac's character isn't well drawn in the Torah. In fact, he's a kind of nebbish, a cipher, whose primary accomplishments seem to be almost getting sacrificed by his father on Mount Moriah, and definitely getting conned out of his blessings by his son, Jacob. Not much of a resume. The really interesting person in this part of the Torah, however, the true star of the portion of Toldot, is his wife Rebecca, who's a powerful presence throughout. When she's pregnant with twin boys, who give her nothing but internal sorrows, she protests powerfully to God. When her son Jacob, the younger of the oil and water twins, is going to lose out appropriately to his older brother Esau, it's Rebecca who persuades the mama's boy, Jacob, to dress up like Esau and scam the inheritance from Isaac. And finally, it's also Rebecca who insists that Jacob flee Canaan, future home of our people, to find his wives and children and destiny in a far-off land. Rebecca is the real deal here. The most powerful, complicated, interesting, motivated character. If she's the archetypal Jewish mother, she's also a heroine, and in the finest sense, one who advances the belief in one God and the future of the Jewish people almost by herself. The true line of succession is not Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, but Abraham to Rebecca to Jacob. So, this morning, when our guest is also named, well, Rebecca, here's a little tribute tune for Rebecca, the woman of the well of water, from the splendid Sephardic melody O Kere Lumbrar, a woman's song from the Balkans by the group The Voice of the Turtle. That was the mikveh song Oke Relumbrar from the Voice of the Turtle Sephardic Group in honor of Rivka, Rebecca. When we return, we'll have our old Jewish joke of the week.
Every once in a while, you want a different sort of day. A day you can be transported in a comfortable coach bus, partake in a wonderful luncheon, and see a show you'll truly enjoy, like Showboat. Min will take you on a journey of pure delight. For entertainment trips to Mesa, Globe, and elsewhere, call Min at 296-1190. The delightful musical Showboat will be performed on the 25th of February in Mesa, Arizona. It's $60 for the whole experience, including the bus, the meal, and the show. Call Min at 296-1190. Ask about their Apache Gold overnight trip, too. It's to enjoy. Call Min at 296-1190.
If you have questions, comments, or criticisms, send them to us at TwoJewishRadio@yahoo.com. We promise to write back. We are so pleased to introduce a recurring feature here on Two Jewish. It's called the Old Joke of the Week, Humor Your Bubby and Zadie Knew. A small town had two churches, Presbyterian and Methodist, plus a synagogue. All three had a serious problem. Squirrels in their building. Many squirrels. Each in its own fashion had a meeting to deal with the problem. The Presbyterians decided it was predestined that squirrels were in the church and they would just have to live with them. The Methodists decided they should deal with the squirrels lovingly in the style of John Wesley. They humanely trapped them while singing hymns and released them in a park at the edge of town. Within 3 days, all the squirrels were back in the church. The Jews had the best solution. They voted the squirrels in as temple members. Now they only see them on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. That's the old Jewish joke of the week, Humor Your Bubby and Zadie Knew, a special feature of Two Jewish, brought to you as a public service. When we come back, we'll talk with Danny Bobman, our maven on Israel, and speak to Tom Price about the international Jewish world.
At Temple Emmanuel Preschool, they really have fun.
Aleph, Bet, Vet.
Aleph, Bet, Vet.
Gimel, Dalet, Hey.
Gimel, Dalet, Hey.
At Temple Emmanuel Preschool.
Temple Emmanuel Preschool.
We learn and play all day.
We learn and play all day.
At Temple Emmanuel Preschool, children are welcome from 6 weeks to pre-kindergarten. We've got small class sizes with a low student-to-teacher ratio. Our professional staff is highly trained and nurturing, and the school offers an all-day extended program with a rich learning curriculum including science, art, music, and dance. Of course, Temple Emmanuel Preschool is open to community members of all faiths. We invite you to come for a visit anytime. Just call Lynn or Melissa at 325-0390. Remember, at Temple Emmanuel Preschool,
we learn and play all day.
Temple Emmanuel Preschool on Country Club just north of Broadway. Call 325-0390 or go to templeemmanueltucson.org. So, here you are, enjoying your Sunday morning with Rabbi Sam Kohan, his mavens, and his friends. Isn't it great hearing the variety of in-depth interviews, the traditional and not-so-traditional Jewish music, the news of Jews around the world, and of course the wit and humor that you've come to expect? You know, producing Two Jewish is a labor of love, but we do need your help. We'd like to ask your business to consider advertising right here within our show. By advertising here, you'll reach an educated, affluent audience, an audience that's loyal. It's easy and inexpensive to advertise on Two Jewish. Just call 327-4501. Your call will help guarantee that Two Jewish remains a source for the best of Jewish culture. Please call today, 327-4501. 327-4501. And thanks from your friends right here at Two Jewish.
You can get CDs of all past Two Jewish shows for a nominal fee by calling Temple Emmanuel at 327-4501 or on the web at templeemmanueltucson.org. Danny Bobman, our maven on Israel, is here this morning talking about solidarity with Israel and journeying there. Boker Tov, Danny. Good morning.
Good morning, Rabbi. The General Assembly of Jewish Federations opened this week in Jerusalem. The Tucson Jewish community is represented there by an impressive number of 38 delegates. As we say in Hebrew, Kol HaKavod. Another impressive group to mention in regard to Tucsonians on their way to Israel are the Birthright candidates. So far, 54 students registered, second only to Cornell out of all the U.S. universities. It is hard to exaggerate in the importance of such visits. This is the most authentic and genuine expression of our community's solidarity and interdependency. Israelis can use a morale boost driven by the sights of General Assembly delegates touring the streets of Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. Be reacquainted with the almost forgotten signs of buses with banners declaring their occupants overseas residents. These are the kinds of things that make Israelis feel optimistic. Their brothers and sisters have returned to the homeland for a visit, not intimidated by recent events and sharing time with their Middle Eastern family. As it's the holiday seasons over here, quality family time, even with distant relatives, is a good thing. From a Jewish-American point of view, the revitalizing of missions and Israel educational trips is critical. It has long been established that a meaningful Israel experience is the single most influential component in shaping young Jews' self-identity. For some, it is a life-changing experience. Others rediscover their connections to their local communities. And by all Jewish identity measuring standards, something fundamentally changes in the way Israel program graduates see and conduct themselves. The fact is that for more than 2 years now, only a fraction of American Jews visited Israel. Even less so high school and college-age students. In high school and college terms, 2 years are two generations of students. That means that now four generations are missing on their Israel education. They do not know what to answer their opponents on campus, but worse, they are missing that bondage that Israel experience installs in its participants. Maybe the impressive numbers mentioned above are the signs of a change. Maybe my extended overseas family has decided that they would not wait any longer for things to come down in Israel. Frankly, I hope this is the case. We have too much to lose if we wait. We lose time, we lose generations of future connections and commitments. We lose the certainty of knowing that we're together no matter what. And with so much to lose, in my optimistic eyes, I see the growing numbers as a welcome trend. Something we should all look forward to. So, safe trip, my delegate friends, and safe return to Tucson. I can't wait to greet you back and hear all about it. See you next week.
Thanks, Danny. Shavua Tov. We'll talk next week. When we return, we'll talk to Tom Price about the international Jewish scene, get the news of Jews around the world, and spend more time with our guest, Rebecca Lieberman.
If you're like most people, your biggest purchase is your home. Don't you wish there was someone you could turn to who not only had knowledge and experience, but who truly cared about you? If you're looking to buy or sell a home, you need to know Jill Rich. It's like having your bubby in the realty business. With over 20 years of experience, Jill's one of Tucson's top realtors. She specializes in all kinds of residential property. She can find you a starter house or a castle. Jill will find you the perfect home. While the stock market has wild gyrations, real estate grows in value. If you want to invest in income property, Jill can guide you. And if you're thinking about selling your home, Jill provides a personal marketing program to sell your house fast. You can reach Jill Rich at Realty Executives River Road office, 615-8400. Jill provides strong representation in a caring way. It's like having your bubby in the realty business. Jill Rich, call 615-8400.
We welcome Tom Price, our authority on the international Jewish scene. We actually spoke to Tom a little bit earlier this week. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Rabbi.
There have been terrible attacks in Turkey this week. Began with horrible attacks at Neve Shalom and another synagogue in Istanbul, and now it's much broader. Can you explain what you think is going on in terms of its relationship to terror and al-Qaeda?
Absolutely. First of all, within just the past few hours, there were five nearly simultaneous explosions apparently targeting, among others, British residents in Istanbul, the British consulate, the British consul general, a British bank, a shopping center frequented by Brits and other Westerners, etc. So this looks like work targeted at foreigners and particularly at Brits. But of course, once again, tragically, the majority of those killed or injured were passersby, so Turks and Muslims. Not that that makes it any worse or better, but the fact is that when something like this happens in a Muslim country, there will be a great sense of outrage that in the name of Islam, supposedly good Muslims are in fact killing other Muslims. Now, the question is especially complicated in terms of Turkey because Arabs have always had a special animus against Turkey. They felt that they were enslaved by the Ottoman Empire for centuries. The Turks traditionally looked down on Arabs. the Turks are held responsible for ending the caliphate when the current secular Turkish Republic was created in the 1920s out of the ashes of the Ottoman Empire. One of the first things that Ataturk, the founder, did was to say, we're going to be a secular republic, we're going to be Western, shave the mustaches, get rid of the fezes, change the script.
Change the alphabet.
Right, exactly. From the Turkish, what had been written for centuries using the Arabic alphabet, although it was a completely different language, the way our language is written using the Latin alphabet. Under Ataturk, that was changed. The Turks use a Western alphabet, a Latin, in fact, alphabet. In any case, there's a long history of animosity between Turks and Arabs, so many Turks will believe that, in fact, Turkey was targeted, and whether the population in Turkey that was affected was Jewish, Christian, or Muslim will make no difference. This will harden their resolve to fight against terror and to reinforce their alliance with us and with NATO.
Thanks, Tom. We'll continue this discussion next week.
Good.
We continue with our Two Jewish Update on news of Jews around the world with commentary.
In terrible news last Saturday, two suicide bombings at synagogues in Istanbul, Turkey, killed 23 and injured hundreds. The attacks were timed to coincide with Shabbat morning services, including a bar mitzvah. One of the blasts tore apart the facade of Neve Shalom, Istanbul's biggest synagogue and the symbolic center of Turkey's 25,000-member Jewish community. The other synagogue attacked was Beth Israel, in an affluent neighborhood of Istanbul. Turkish Daily Radikal reported that the Israeli intelligence service Mossad had warned Turkish intelligence twice about an attack on synagogues. The first warning came in April, when Mossad reportedly said that al-Qaeda was planning to attack Neve Shalom. A second Mossad warning that al-Qaeda was planning attacks on Israeli and U.S. citizens in Turkey came just 2 months ago in September. Turkey, a secular nation that's NATO's only Muslim member and is a close U.S. ally, enjoys very warm relations with Israel. Turkey and Israel have carried out joint military exercises, and Turkey in 1948 became the first Muslim country to recognize the Jewish state. It's also a vacation destination for many Israelis. About 300 worshippers were inside each synagogue at the time of the terrible attacks. Turkish Jews will continue to survive, said Selvio Avadya, a spokesman for the Jewish community, but it's impossible to stop suicide attacks. In 1986, a Palestinian terrorist murdered 22 worshippers and wounded 6 during a Shabbat service at Neve Shalom, which led to tighter security. Al-Qaeda may be involved. They're thought to have carried out an April 2002 vehicle bombing at a historic synagogue on the Tunisian resort island of Djerba that killed 21 people, mostly foreign tourists. That was the most recent of such terrible synagogue attacks. Authorities named two Turkish citizens last Wednesday as the suicide bombers, suggesting the country's radical Islamic movement may be reconstituting itself with help from abroad. Turkish news organizations report that one of the men, Mesut Kabuk, 29, spent time in Iran, Pakistan, and possibly Afghanistan in recent years. The other, Gökhan Elaptuntas, 22, had two cousins who were serving time for terror attacks carried on behalf of an Islamic group in the early 90s. Both men were from the town of Bingöl, about 600 miles southeast of Istanbul. Al-Qaeda has claimed responsibility, but so far there's no direct tie. Perhaps Turkey's problem with homegrown terrorists has merged with a larger transnational terrorist movement. The bombings last Saturday were the worst terror attack in the republic's 80-year history. Israeli Foreign Minister Silvan Shalom flew to Istanbul to show support for the small Jewish community. He visited Turkey's chief rabbi, Isaac Haleva, who was in one of the synagogues when the attackers struck and was slightly injured. Haleva's son, Yosef, suffered serious face and neck wounds and underwent surgery. In other news, Nobel laureate Elie Wiesel, who is a kind of conscience for the world, made headlines last week when he sharply criticized the Pope. Wiesel took issue with Pope John Paul II's criticism of the security barrier under construction in Israel, saying that the pontiff's remarks politicized terrorism. Wiesel's comments came after John Paul critiqued Israel last Sunday for building a wall between itself and the Palestinian territories. From the spiritual leader of one of the largest and most important religions in the world, I expected something very different, namely a statement condemning terror and the killing of innocents, without mixing in political considerations, and above all, without comparing these things to a work of pure self-defense, Wiesel told the Corriere della Sera newspaper. To politicize terrorism like that is wrong. The pontiff, in comments during his Sunday appearance in St. Peter's Square, also condemned recent acts of terrorism. I also renew my firm condemnation for every terror action carried out in these recent times in the Holy Land, John Paul said. At the same time, I must note that unfortunately in those places the dynamism of peace seems to have stopped. The construction of a wall between the Israeli and Palestinian people is seen by many as a new obstacle on the road towards peaceful cohabitation, the Pope said. In reality, the Holy Land doesn't need walls but bridges. On the other hand, in Israel, it might be more accurate that strong walls make good neighbors. And I wonder if the Pope, who has been the subject of terror attacks himself, would like to remove the walls around the Vatican. In philanthropic news, Gary Tobin's recent study of Jewish megadonors found that only 6% of their contributions go to Jewish causes. This is a continuation of a long-standing downward trend. Jewish megadonors give about half their gifts to institutions of higher learning, colleges and universities, and are not typically inclined to make truly significant gifts to Jewish organizations, synagogues, and institutions. Perhaps this is indicative of a tendency to identify more closely with the non-Jewish community. And there was an anniversary of a sort this week. It was 68 years ago, on November 20th, 1945, the 24 Nazi leaders went on trial before an international war crimes tribunal in Nuremberg, Germany. That was the beginning of the famous Nuremberg war crimes trials, which brought the terrible infamy of the Holocaust into stark reality. And that's the news of Jews around the world. I'd like to welcome back Rebecca Lieberman to Too Jewish. Rebecca Lieberman is a graduate of Barnard College, University of Pennsylvania Law School. Following law school, she co-directed the New York City Children's Aid Society's policy office. Prior to law school, she worked in education reform. She also worked to develop school business partnerships in New York City public schools. Before joining her father, Senator Joe Lieberman's campaign for president in May, she was president and CEO of Vote for America, which works to increase both knowledge and voting participation among young people in America. She founded that organization as a result of her experience supporting the Gore Lieberman ticket in 2000. She is back on the campaign trail, advancing her father's campaign for the Democratic Party nomination for president. Welcome back to Too Jewish, Rebecca Lieberman.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. You have been part of a presidential campaign once before. Aside from the exhilaration and the attention, why would anyone subject themselves to the 24-hour-a-day scrutiny of press and public?
They would do it, and my dad is doing it, because he knows that America can be better than it is right now. And he knows that he has what it takes to make that true. He has what it takes to create millions of jobs, which people really badly need. And he has what it takes to keep us safe at home and in the world, which we need very badly, too. So it's really about serving the country and feeling you've got the goods.
You are out representing your father, particularly on campuses, but at many other venues around the country. What do you hear about how people feel about the presidency?
I think in general people understand that being president is a big job. There's a lot of power there. And they're concerned about the direction that the country is headed in. You know, I talk to people in high schools, I talk to people in colleges, and their concerns are like the concerns of people of all ages across the country. They're worried about the economy. They want to know if they're going to have jobs. They want to know if they're going to have health coverage. They want to know if the air we breathe and the water we drink is going to be clean for them as they grow older and for their families they hope to have someday. So they understand that the president has a lot to do with making sure that that's all the case. And I'm very proud to be out there telling them that my dad will provide health insurance for millions of Americans and create jobs for millions of Americans as well and do what we need to do to safeguard our environment.
Although your father was an early front runner, the media seems to have almost written off Senator Lieberman's candidacy, even though there have been no primaries or even caucuses so far. Why is that?
Well, I wouldn't say the media has written off his candidacy. I think, you know, in these early days, a lot of what goes on is really inside politics. Folks are really not focused on this race yet. You know, they're not even thinking about what they're having for Thanksgiving dinner, let alone who they're going to be voting for in February. My dad has been doing extremely well in national polls and in state polls in the important early primary states. And the good news is that the more people know my dad, the more they like him, the more they respect him. They appreciate his candor, his integrity, and the fact that he doesn't waffle on issues, that he looks at a problem, you know, doesn't ask himself what's the conservative or the liberal position, but he asks himself what's right, what's going to work for the most Americans. And the more people see that, I'm confident the more they'll get behind him. And, you know, the bottom line is what really matters is what the voters do on Election Day. And we're working hard to make sure that they vote for Joe.
How important is being Jewish to your work?
You know, being Jewish is a fact of my life. It's sort of it informs my values. It's part of my lifestyle. In terms of my work, throughout my life, I've been drawn to public service. And I think, like for my father, a lot of this sort of is rooted in the notion of tikkun olam, of our obligation to make this a more perfect world, a more perfect place. And I think that that is really part of what has drawn my dad into public service and has guided him to really plan for the future, to look, you know, not just a day from now, a year from now, but look, you know, 10, 20 years down the road and make sure that, for example, the environment is clean and we stood up for what's right.
The Pirkei Avot says, Al tifros min hatzibur, don't separate yourself from the community. You've worked hard to convince generations X and Y to exercise their franchise and vote. Why do you think your generation has voted in such low numbers, and do you think the slacker charge has any merit?
I absolutely do not think the slacker charge has any merit. In fact, if you look at research, the truth of the matter is that these generations, my generation and the one behind me, is more involved in community service than generations have been for years. We're talking about young people volunteering in schools, working on environmental causes, visiting with senior citizens, going to soup kitchens. This is real grassroots person-to-person engagement. I think what hasn't happened is the link between that personal engagement and the larger political system. And I think part of that alienation really stems from cynicism about politicians. And I think part of it also is that folks aren't learning as much in school about civics. Those links aren't being made for them. And so I think it's real important to get out there and talk to people about what they care about and show them how that links up to the political and the governmental system.
You've said that your father used to go up to strangers in airports and malls and ask them what they thought about important issues, which as a child appalled you, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Must have embarrassed
you. I heard a lot of interesting stories, but it is somewhat embarrassing.
I mean, you know, it's your dad.
Yeah, and it would frequently be, you know, you're at a cash register paying for something, and he'd ask a question, or in a cab, and, you know, in New York City, and he'd ask the driver where they were from and get into a whole geopolitical discourse.
Now, do you do that yourself now?
I don't, actually. I have not gone that far. though I have to say, it was funny, in 2000, you know, I was campaigning from the convention till the election for Al Gore and my dad, and I live in New York City, and I began to have this urge on subways to just start talking to people about the campaign, about the election, and why they should vote for us. But I have not yet started making random inquiries into people's lives.
Well, talking to people on subways, that's a pretty brave step right there.
Yes, it would be. I'm holding back. I'm holding back on that one.
Well, I appreciate
that
discretion.
I could definitely be doing it in February. I might be doing it in New York as the primary approaches.
Difficult question. In your heart, do you feel the Gore-Lieberman ticket actually won the election of 2000?
The numbers show that they did get more votes. And, you know, obviously that was not the outcome that they took office, but that was a painful time and certainly a surprising and disappointing time in terms of our process. But I think it taught us a really important lesson, and it's part of what motivated me to start Vote for America, which is that we so deeply undervalue the system of our democracy, the very machines on which we cast our votes, that this was able to happen. And so I really channeled my disappointment and confusion into this organization, making sure that folks would value their vote and go out and use it. And simultaneously, there was work at the national level to put resources into states to get new voting machines so that we won't have that kind of confusion ever again.
Your father supported the war in Iraq initially. Where does he stand now on our involvement there?
He supported the war in Iraq, and he has supported putting more resources into that country and feels it's important that we send more troops to keep the troops that we have there safe until the UN becomes more involved. I mean, what's happened in Iraq, he has not approved of the way that Bush has handled it, but he had felt for a long time that Saddam Hussein posed a real threat to our security, the security of the Middle East generally, and obviously the well-being of his own people. And it's so critically important that we handle this phase of what's going on in Iraq well. We really need to work hard to make sure the Iraqi Governing Council gets power soon and that democracy flourishes there, because it'll be a real example to the Middle East in general. And I think the world will benefit from a strong democracy taking root in Iraq and then that kind of spreading to the country surrounding.
Is Senator Lieberman's support for Israel controversial at all in the places you're visiting, the primary states in which you're campaigning?
Not at all. You know, people understand that Israel is our most important ally in the Middle East. And we have, through a number of presidents, had a strong relationship with Israel. That's established in, you know, our political and governmental history. So his support for Israel is really not met with any concern.
You are an educated attorney, and your father's daughter. Do you agree with him on everything?
I don't agree with him on everything. But I have to say that my positions on things are not as well-informed as his. He is in the position of having...
Well, it's all those intelligence briefings that you don't
right.
get to have.
I know, I'm not getting any top-secret briefings. It's very disappointing.
Terribly.
I would only do good things with the information.
Of course, and I'm sure the CIA would believe you.
They would believe me. They'd have no reason not to.
So in what things, with what issues do you disagree with your dad?
Oh, you know, it's not worth going into specifics on that. He's the one running for president. I'm proud to be out here supporting him. Suffice it to say that the things that we differ on are not great enough for me not to be out here wholeheartedly doing my best to get him elected president.
Your father is famous for being the first Orthodox Jew to run for vice president, now for president. What would you like to become famous for?
That is a great question. I'm not really concerned with becoming famous. I, more than anything, have tried in my work to help people in a way that really affects their everyday lives. I did that through getting families enrolled in health insurance and starting programs to teach families how to manage money, and then, you know, working with people to get them to vote more so they can impact the system. To me, that sort of direct touching of people's lives and empowering them to make things better for themselves is good enough. Fame certainly does not matter.
Why should people vote for your dad for president?
They should vote for him for president because he really has the integrity and the ideas and the vision to get this country back on track, which means, you know, creating new jobs, keeping us safe here and in the world abroad. And they should also vote for him because he's really the sort of leader who examines problems and asks himself, you know, not what's the liberal or the conservative viewpoint, but what works for most Americans, what's really in the public interest. And I think that's the kind of leader we deserve. He's not about politics as usual. He's a real public servant. And in these extraordinary times of such possibility with technology, with health care, with civil rights, and also such risks and dangers in terms of global warming and loss of jobs and threats and terrorism, we need that kind of leader.
You have spent your life in the public eye, really. You've met all kinds of public figures. Who are your favorites, besides your dad?
My dad, that was my answer. You know, I actually haven't spent that much time sort of in the public eye. Folks who I admire for the work they're doing, you know, I can't think of any big public figure that would be recognizable. I most admire people who have chosen to really act on their values and work to improve folks' lives. So whether that's a doctor or a teacher who's really coming into one-on-one contact with people and doing their best to make things better for them, those are the folks that I admire most.
Well, I have to say, it's been a great delight talking to you. I have a new favorite person in the Democratic race, but it's you.
Oh, you're very sweet. Thank you.
I'd like to thank Rebecca Lieberman for a great visit here on Too Jewish, which her and her father, Batzlacha, good luck in the coming months.
Thank you.
Thank you. When we come back, we'll have a final play out and hear about next week's guest.
The greatest Hanukkah on earth is coming to Temple Emmanuel Sunday, December 14th at 4:30 p.m. Join Temple Emmanuel for the largest, most spectacular, and most enjoyable Hanukkah celebration of all. Featuring a wonderful array of music, theater, dance, stories, and magic, Hanukkah comes to life at the Temple's 5th Annual Festival of Lights. Sing and celebrate Hanukkah with us. Begin by helping light the giant outdoor menorah on Country Club Road at 4:30 p.m. And then rejoice with the Avanim Rock Band, Temple Emmanuel Youth and Teen Choir, our string quartet, Rabbi Sam Cohen and David Freeland, and an array of great performers. Bring a menorah and two candles as we light up the night in a gorgeous finale that'll make this your most memorable Hanukkah ever. This Hanukkah event is open to all, and there's no charge for the show. Come join the fun at the temple. If you want to join us for a great traditional brisket and latke dinner afterwards, call the temple at 327-4501 and make a reservation with your credit card. Sunday, December 14th, beginning at 4:30 p.m., it's the greatest Hanukkah on earth at Temple Emmanuel. So, what are you doing today? We suggest that right after listening to Too Jewish, you head over to Temple Emmanuel for their Hanukkah Bazaar, going on now until 2 p.m. The Hanukkah Bazaar, presented by the Temple Emmanuel Sisterhood, has something for everyone. Crafts and special gift vendors, a tasty bake sale, even the famous Rabbi David Freeland Cheesecake Raffle. There's latkes, hot dogs, refreshments, and fun for everyone. Head on over right away to the Hanukkah Bazaar, going on now at Temple Emmanuel, Country Club just north of Broadway. Proceeds benefit the religious school and temple-sponsored events. We'll see you there. Thank you for joining us this morning on Too Jewish with Rabbi Sam Cohen and friends. You can contact us at 327-4501 or at TooJewishRadio@yahoo.com. Come back next Sunday at 10 right here on 990 AM KTKT.
Thanks for being here. Join us next week when our guest will be Stephen Fried, author of the terrific book, The New Rabbi. Our playout this morning comes from Avanim, the Temple Emmanuel House rock band, playing Pitachta, a song from the Psalms of Celebration, appropriate for Thanksgiving. My friends, have a good morning and a Shavua Tov, a week of Thanksgiving, and we pray, of peace.
The preceding program was produced and paid for by Temple Emmanuel.